In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
It's about the acknowledgement of the one that died and rose up again. You know, there are several religions in this world. There's Islam, there's Hindu, which other one? Buddhism, or the isms, shamanism, modernism. Okay, there's modernism now. But listen, in fact, some people literally zero on the devil and say it's satanism. But listen, none can be compared with ours, because technically this is not a religion. Because for it to be a religion, the person that founded it must die. This one is alive. When you visit his tomb, you will be told it's not there. It's not just some rumor that came from the Middle East. The proof that he's alive is here. Oh, you didn't hear me. Someone said, I need to go to that room to really see Jesus is still there. No, you don't need to go there. Just look at me. I'm the proof he's alive. Father, we thank you. As your word will be declared with power, with clarity, and with precision this morning, open the eyes of understanding of everyone under the sound of my voice to come into the comprehension of the truth regarding your resurrection, so that we will be liberated and we'll walk in the reality of that resurrection in the name of Jesus. Please tell at least 3-4 people around you, he's alive, he's alive. As you have your seat, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Makotaya Sha, he's alive, he's alive. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we will not be silent. Are you listening to me? Now, I refuse to sell my soul to any party, whether it's probably Republican or Democrat. I know some of you are too democratic to see the truth. Are you listening to me? And that's a disgrace if you cannot call the truth the truth. Listen, you are firstly a Christian before your cards or whatever you are carrying for your party. This is a mess. Are you listening to me? And I believe it's actually an attempt of the enemy to silence us. And we will not be silenced. Don't you enemy say, we will not be silenced. Today is about Jesus. It's not about some twisted lifestyle. A lifestyle that you seek deliverance is now being made visible. When you are oppressed, harassed, are obsessed with the devil, you should cry for help. No. I said no. I saw it yesterday and I was angry. How many people saw what I'm talking about? Did you feel normal with it? If you felt normal, we should withdraw your salvation. Are you listening to me? We should withdraw your salvation. This is about your Lord and Savior. Don't play, don't play. Everybody that sat together to come up with that agenda, I declare their counsel is cursed. But listen, listen to me. When those things are released, they come in layers. Are you listening to me? And if we as believers keep quiet, it can only mount up. Look at all the nonsense we've had to endure in the last 3 years plus. In the name of, let me preach Jesus. So that you won't go back home and say, Pastor was just angry today. I'm defending Jesus. That's all I'm doing. So this morning, I'm going to be speaking briefly on what I call resurrection facts. I won't take time. Just give me a few minutes. Somebody say resurrection facts. You didn't sound like you're excited that he's resurrected. Somebody shout resurrection facts. You know, I don't want to assume that every one of us understand the significance of a day like this. Are you listening to me? And, you know, this is the essence of the Christian faith. Our Christian faith is not built around the birth of Jesus, but rather is built around the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus died and resurrected. Come on, turn to the other direction and tell that other fellow, Jesus died and resurrected. Now, I want to assume at one point or the other, some of us, most of us, if not all of us, have come out or maybe in some program or maybe in the privacy of your home, you made this affirmation that Jesus is the Lord of your life, right? Come on, talk to me. Am I right? And you know, part of what that process included is, I believe in my heart that he died for me. And he was what? Resurrected. Come on, am I talking to somebody? Now, how many of you noticed that when you made that declaration to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you did not, it was not part of that statement that he was born. But you went straight to the fact that he died. Because his birth, as great as it was for his death. Because he had to be born before he could die. If he was not born of a woman, it would have been impossible for him to what? Die. Are you listening to me? So, if there's anything that carries value, that carries weight, where Jesus is concerned, is his death and resurrection. You know, on Friday, I shared, those of us that were around, I shared with us the essential facts about the death of Jesus. He died for you. He died. You died with him. He died for your sin. He died for her. I'm not sure if you still remember. You know, that was powerful. Were you blessed? Okay, those of you that were not part of the service, you need to go to YouTube and listen to it. But listen to me. If the story ended with his death, then there would have been no hope for us. Are you listening to me? But what makes his death significant was because that after he died, he rose up again. Somebody shout, he rose up again. The Bible talks about us having a lively hope. And that word lively is a derivative of zoe in the Greek. In other words, the word hope there speaks of expectation. In other words, we have an expectation that is associated with the God kind of life. Oh my God, you didn't hear me. We have what? Expectation that is what? Associated with what? The God kind of life. Just because he died. So, our right to the God kind of life is attached to his resurrection. Let me show you something this morning. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter. Interesting enough, Peter is the one ministering today. 1 Peter. Not one Peter. A politician once said, 2 Corinthians. I won't mention his name. But that's how you know people that read the Bible and people that don't read it. Because if you read the Bible, you know it's 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. Okay. Can we read it together, church? 1, 2, 3, go. It was like everybody outsourced the speaking to evangelists. It was the only one I was hearing. Now I want you to talk like you have eaten today. Even if you have not eaten. 1, 2, 3, go. So we are begotten to a what? A living hope. We are birthed to an expectation that is associated with the God kind of life, which is the highest form of life. But this access, this privilege, is associated with what? The resurrection
of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is how powerful this resurrection thing is. Everything about our faith as Christians is built around the fact that Jesus resurrected. You know, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Do I have your attention, everybody? Ephesians chapter 2 and the 6th verse. Ephesians chapter 2 and the 6th verse. It says, and raised us up. Now, let's start from verse 5 for you to get the complete picture. In fact, like, can we read it together? Let's do some Bible reading together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 6. And raised, you know, we were dead in our trespasses. Then what did he do? He joined us in that state by receiving our sins. Now, somebody said, why did he have to receive our sins? Because he needed to pay for it. And before he could pay for it, he must associate with it. Though he did not do it, he received it by love. Are you listening to me? It's like your son messed up and your son deserves to be punished. And there's no way around it. There must be punishment. And you, in love, now says, you know what? Although he was the one that did the crime, I will pay the price. That's why what happened on the death of the cross is the greatest act of love. Greater love has no man than this, that for a man to lay down his life for what? His friend. His friend did the crime, he paid the price. And the price involved the shedding of his blood and his death. And that is amazing. John chapter 19, verse 30. Let's look at John chapter 19, verse 30. Something amazing happened at the cross that if you don't have revelation, you might miss. John chapter 19 and the 30th verse. Just John 19, 30. He says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine that was at the cross, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The question is, what was finished? Because he said, it is finished. How many of you believe Jesus was not lying when he said, it is finished? What was finished was, you know, everything associated with the mess created in the Garden of Eden by the first man. Jesus had gone through the process of being punished for that crime. And he satisfied the claims of justice fully. And at a certain point, when the judgment that the crime warranted had been fully suffered, he knew inside of him that now it's done. Sin has nothing on humanity again. It is finished. I want you to stretch your two hands out and shout, it is finished. It is finished. Come on, shout one more time. Say, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And after that, the Bible says, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And something happened 3 days after. Some of his followers went to the tomb where he was buried and said, let's anoint his body, you know, let's treat it nicely. But to their surprise, he was not there. Come on, talk to me. I said he was not there. Because something supernatural had happened. He was raised from the dead. Oh my God, you didn't shout like you're excited. I said Jesus was raised from the dead. Can you shout with me? Say, Jesus was raised from the dead. But listen to me, it's not just that Jesus was raised, you are raised. Oh, you didn't hear me. You were raised. Because the scripture I just read to you says, he said, we were dead in our trespasses. Then he joined us in that death, paid the price for that death. Then the next thing, he was raised up. Then he ascended up on high. But this morning, I'm focusing on that raised part. You are raised. Oh my God. Somebody needs to catch a revelation. The reason why you must get a raise before the end of this year is because I was raised. Oh. So raise is not a problem. Don't you never say raise? It's not my problem. You are a race, R-A-I-S. You are in a race class. So it's normal to receive race. It was raised up and we were raised up. Now, as I summarize what God put on my heart today, now get ready to write. The few things I want to share with you. God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead alongside a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want you to write it down. The media will project it. God raised up Jesus. Because it's one thing to be shouting, he was raised. And you take yourself out of that equation. So it's incomplete if you are not there. He was not just raised. You are raised. God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead alongside a new creation. Media, I need you, please. A new creation in Christ Jesus. So, the new creation and Jesus were raised together. Jesus was not just raised. You were raised. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. We're going to do some quick Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Look at it. Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, go. So, death had nothing on him. God raised him up. Now, move to verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Read it, people. So, I'm showing you proofs that he was really raised. Then go to Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. All these three scriptures I've shown you points to the fact that God raised him. So it was not like he did not really die. Because, you know, people can be very, very interesting. You say, you know, there are times that people go into coma and they assume they are dead. And, you know, after a few days, they come back. You know, technology over 2,000 years ago was not that sophisticated. That's why they thought he really died. People come up with stupid things. So I need to show you from the scripture that he was not in a coma. Then after a while, he came out of the coma. He died. God had to raise him. But not only that, you were there. Don't you never say, I was raised with him. And that's why it's criminal for a believer in Christ Jesus to call himself a sinner. When God raised you from the dead, he raised you with the life of God. And it's either you're a sinner or you are the righteousness of God. There's no such thing as a bipolar new creation. Oh my God, you didn't hear me. I said there's no such thing as a what? A bipolar new creation, who is a sinner and also the righteousness of God. You have to take one. Now ask your neighbor, which one are you? Get a response. Anytime you address yourself as a sinner, it's a slap on the finished work of redemption. You are saying God did not do a perfect work. Even when there are still struggles and challenges that don't make some of your experiences align with the finished work of redemption, you still maintain the reality that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, you know, that's the most powerful confession of a new creation. Let's get on our feet and make that declaration one more time this morning. Very, very powerful. I've taught you over and over that no matter how busy the day is, if there's any statement you must not miss, is that lift up your both hands on high and shout, I am the righteousness, of God in Christ Jesus, because I've been raised together with his life. I'm full of life. God quality of life. I'm not a sinner. I'm not under condemnation. I'm not under judgment. The claims of justice have been met. Say, the claims of justice have been met. I am acquitted. I am discharged. I am justified. I am glorified. And I declare that I'm righteous. Just like Jesus. Somebody rejoice. You may be seated. Jesus was not just raised. You as a child of God, you are raised. You are raised. You are raised. Do you know coming to that realization by revelation changes the ball game? The devil has nothing on you. Said no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that comes against you, said, you will condemn me. He said, for their righteousness is of me. The problem is a lot of us, we confront issues with our righteousness. I'm a good member of a church. I pay tithe. I'm in the choir. I'm an usher. I'm in protocol. I've served you all the days of my life. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot win the devil with those qualifications. How can you be presenting your B+ when there's an A certificate besides you? He said, you are a joint heir. You did not write the exam, but you can use the certificate. And in pride, some of us are still trying to pull our non-sufficient certificate, which is all based on you. You have something based on Jesus. He died for you. Now use him. Oh, you didn't hear me. I say use him. You know, in the natural, we don't like to be used. Am I right? I was still talking to somebody a few days ago, and he said, I realized that that relationship was not real. Because all this while, it was one-sided. I felt used for over the years. But with deity, he loves to be used. Don't confuse humanity with deity. When you use God, God is excited. And how do you use him? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he said, why are you pulling up your chest as if you did it? I don't have to do it. He did it for me. In fact, he's glorified when you use that credential. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the price that Jesus paid. Is that very clear? Secondly, Jesus is the first begotten from the dead, but he's not the only begotten from the dead. The reason why he's called the first begotten is because there are other begottens. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Oh my God. Jesus is what? The first begotten. Now, it is the model. He's our model. Can we read it out loud and clear? Verse 5, please. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Can we read it out loud and clear? You are washed in his own blood. Don't try to wash yourself by your effort. Your effort cannot wash you. You have been washed in his what? Own blood. But that's not the focus. The focus is, the firstborn. Please, media, I'm sitting on the scripture. Is the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn indicates there are other bonds. Now, permit my English. Ask your neighbor, say, which number are you? I don't know your number, but you got born sometime. It's the firstborn. So this Easter is not just the celebration of Jesus, it's also the celebration of you. Because he was the model for resurrection. He's the firstborn. It's like, I know some of you have bought houses in certain community or estates before. The developer had this molded one they firstly built, right? And you came in and you saw it and you liked it. Then you say, I need a house in this estate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus is to you. He was the model. And we saw it. And we said, Jesus, you are my Lord and personal Savior. And we move into his estate. But it's not the only one in that category. A believer in Christ Jesus is in this class. He's the firstborn from the dead. Three.
true resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity. Media, please, you have my notes. Please, let them see it. Thank you. Can we read it together? One, two, three, go. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's go there clearly. Expectation of what? God kind of life. So if it's not manifesting, you have the right to demand it because he resurrected. Hey. Any aspect of your life that does not resemble resurrection, don't settle. Look at it. He said, blessed be the God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again. You know, the scripture I read to you says it was the firstborn. But now he put you in the class. He said, you are begotten again, just like him. To what? A living hope. And like I said earlier on, that living, I checked the Greek origin. I realized it's a derivative of Zoe. Yes, so it's not just life on any level. You know, there's different, there's plant life, there's microbial life, there's animal life, and there's human life, natural human life. But there's a higher form of life that we call Zoe, the God kind of life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, how many of you know John chapter 10, verse 10? The thief comes, but to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life, Zoe life. God quality of life. And that's what he's referring to. He said, you have been begotten. So now that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, now that you have identified with the sacrifice of Jesus, you have a right to a quality life. You must have an expectation of the God kind of life, not just when you leave this side, right now. You know, religion tells you we're going to get eternal life when we get to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have eternal life here, you won't have it there. You must have it from here. Then if you have it here, then you can establish heaven on earth. So before, because heaven is already located in you by the virtue of eternal life. Okay, four. You can see I'm running. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is both the foundation and the proof of a believer in Christ Jesus. It's a proof that the believer in Christ Jesus will resurrect after the death in this world. Listen, if you are here and somebody has confused you at one time or the other and made you believe that life hangs on this side, no. In fact, this life is the small measure. The real life is after this side. But the good news is you are not just going to wake up to any kind of life. You're going to wake up to God kind of life on the other side. If you doubt that Jesus resurrected and went to heaven, that means I will resurrect in terms of your physical body. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 12, verse 13, and verse 21. We're going to read it quickly. Are you getting something out of this? Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, Jesus resurrected. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, verse 13, and verse 21. Okay, media. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Read it, saints. This was Paul challenging the church at Corinth. Apparently, there were some confusionists that came amongst them and started saying, there's no life after this world. I said, have you lost your mind? Was it not preached to you that Jesus died and resurrected? Your model resurrected. That's the proof that you will resurrect. Verse 13. Oh, my God. Let nobody fool you. Life does not end here. There's a resurrection. Verse 13. So the question is, did he rise? Yes. Then there's resurrection of the dead. Some of you who have lost some loved one, and in your mind, they are gone forever. They are not gone forever. They are gone for a while. In fact, let me put it in perspective. They are gone in time. But you will reunite in eternity. And when you are talking about the value of time and eternity, nothing beats eternity. Time deteriorates. Time shuts down. But eternity lasts forever. Now go to verse 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh my God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 21. Can we read it? By my this is so powerful. You know, through the first man, Adam, death was introduced to humanity. Through the last man, Jesus, resurrection from the dead has been introduced to us. The only difference is this. When Adam sinned and died was death was imposed on all of us. But now that Jesus has paid the price and resurrected for us, he did not need to resurrect. He resurrected for you. Because in the first place, he was not man. He originally became man so that he could die and resurrect and give you an image of resurrection. So don't just believe in the image of death that came by the first man. Have faith in the image of resurrection. Jesus has supplied to his resurrection. Is it clear? One man brought death. The other one brought resurrection from the dead. Turn to your neighbor and say, which man is more real to you? Adam or Jesus? Everybody says, Adam. Jesus has come. Why are you focusing on Adam? Adam brought death. Jesus brought resurrection. Lift up your two hands and shout, I'm not afraid of death because of Jesus. You know, Pastor Moyo said something powerful. He said, you know, we trust God for healing on this side if our bodies get attacked. But you know, the worst that could happen is that you will go prematurely. Guess what? You will still be resurrected to the other side. Are you listening to me? And that's why it's so sad why some people lose faith, because they were believing God for somebody who was so close to them not to die, and now he died. And they're like, this Christianity thing is not real. It's real, though. It's so real. You are the one that need to gain perspective. Do you know God showed me something several years ago? Is there a lot of times when believers are going through challenges of sickness or disease or one thing or the other, he said, at some point, some get tired and they don't want to fight that fight of faith again. And at that point, they want to go. And if they want to go, you can't stop them. I've prayed for somebody before who was close to death. And when I started praying, she turned her back to me. The same person that would say, Pastor, come and pray. This time around, the last time I prayed for her, she just turned. Was the message not clear? Don't bother. I've seen glory. I'm so sure at that point, angels were already hanging around our room. And it's like, this right, I'm not missing it. This is your prayer, pocket it. I've seen glory. I'm going now. Don't pray for me. Pray for yourself. You are the one that needs prayer. I know where my flight is going. Do you know it's easier to raise an unbeliever from the dead than a believer? Most times when a believer has crossed and has seen glory, a few of them that have come back, you would hear them say, Jesus had to come to them and say, please, you have to go back. Your people, they won't let me rest. And you are crying, hey, he's in joy. Your best of life here cannot match the life there. The person that you say is having life, when he crosses over there, he's like, oh my God, this is life. Wow. Okay, how many have I given you now? Four. We are close to the end. I love this one. It says, there is dunamis, which is supernatural, miraculous power associated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is so powerful. You know, when I was meditating on this yesterday night, I got all excited. Resurrection is not something you take casually. It's not light. There is power. Now listen, God's expectation is that you and I will represent resurrection with power. A life that does not command dunamis is a disappointment to resurrection. Acts chapter 4 verse 33. He resurrected with power, and you are supposed to live in power. So I declare by the authority of Jesus that after today, everyone under the sound of my voice who is dealing with one thing or the other that needs the invitation of dunamis, as you walk in the consciousness that there is power associated with resurrection, I declare that issue dissolves. Amen. Can we read it loud and clear? Acts chapter 4 verse 33. Wait, with great power. With great power. That's how to represent resurrection. So there must be a consciousness of there is power in this thing. You know, I love the way the old saints we sing it. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Sing it. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The resurrection opened you and I to a life of power. Supernatural, miraculous power. Turn to your neighbor and say, I do not tolerate any nonsense. Because Jesus is alive. Yeah. You know, all over Nigeria, they are saying, I don't go grieve for anybody. There are things you have been grieving for. Let me break it down for you. There are things you have been allowing that you should stop what? That you should stop grieving for. Grieve. Jesus is resurrected. I will not grieve for a body full of pain. I will not just permit a mess up marriage. Kids everywhere. No, I take authority in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, power! So resurrection has opened us to miraculous living. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for what? Signs and wonders. We have expectation of a breakout, of a breakthrough, of record-breaking manifestations because of resurrection. Somebody shout hallelujah. Still talking about that dunamis, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. I refuse to be associated with mere religion without power. Authentic Christianity commands power. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Don't tolerate a weak life. He resurrected so that you can live in power. Not be subjected to any form of harassment. Paul speaking said that I may know him. And the next thing is that the power of his resurrection. So there's power. This word power is dunamis. There's a dunamis that the resurrection carries. Oh, I wish every believer will come into that reality. Hey, I don't just want to know him powerlessly. I want to know him and what? The power. Can you shout and say the power of his resurrection? So Jesus resurrected so that your life can command power. Somebody shout power. Ooh, two more and I'm done. The resurrection of Jesus Christ signifies victory over death. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 52, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory. Let me teach you. This way you sing it. As you sing it, you tap your... Come on. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Can we do it? I've just given you another instrument. 1, 2, 3, go. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Victory today is... 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Very powerful. In fact, I want to give you an assignment. When you get home, go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Powerful. From verse 52. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet we sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, religion is what makes Christians to be afraid of rapture. If you are not saved, be afraid. But if you are saved, be excited. Oh my God, nothing can be more exciting. No adrenaline in this world can beat this. The dead will be raised incorruptible. In other words, we no longer be subject to this body of corruption. He said, and we shall be changed. That's rapture. We shall be what? Go further down. Verse 53. We're going all the way to verse
57. We can read it together. He said, for this corruptible must put on corruption, incorruption. This mortal must put on what? Why you allow me to read again? Let's read together. So when this corruptible, I'm not feeling your support, has put on immortality. Continue, continue, continue. Hey! 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 Continue! You are still sitting down, and the strength of the sin is verse 57. Thanks be to God. Thanks. No, I'm believing God for a generation that you will preach rapture to them and they will get all excited. Glory to God. Because when we got saved, they used rapture to torment us. Remember, we were already saved and they were still tormenting us. Because they made us feel that you are not sure you will make it. And there's some wrong teachings that have gone all around. Like a man of God preaching. And he's preaching to, not a crusade though, he's preaching to believers. And he said, you know what, God just showed me this. That if Jesus were to come now, it's only three people that will go there. Listen, please, stop that nonsense. It's your imagination. It's not God. It's your wrong doctrine. Listen, Jesus died to save us. Don't harass us. Rapture should bring excitement. Victory, at last. We won't have to deal with this death thing. You know, fine, we are saved. But there's still a level of corruption in our physical body. And that's why your body, you know, you look yourself in the mirror and say, ah, now I'm a fine boy. Now fine boys begin to have wrinkles. But thank God for that new body that is coming. Oh, that body that does not have pimples. Oh, some sisters in the house are excited. You will not need to make up that body, because that body came perfect. It came full of glory. It came full of the life of God. Mortality will be swallowed by what? Immortality. Thanks be to God. You will not have to release your faith for healing again, because that body cannot break down. You know, it takes a body that can break down for you to need faith for healing. That one can't break down. As it is in heaven. Father, we thank you. Lift up your hands. Makatu sobarala. Mandogo yoshu de bebe bebe. Lo, 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 lo. I want to conclude with this. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Media, can you project my last point? The resurrection of the saints is the completion of our redemption in Christ Jesus. You know what we have now is like down payment. Down payment of our redemption. And look at how exciting the down payment is. You have the life of God already. You know, you can claim things by faith. You can walk in victory by faith. But ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate delivery, which is the redemption of our body. Now turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, this body of yours is about to be redeemed. I'm serious. My body does not need redemption. Don't bat for 2 days. That's a proof that your body needs to be what? Redeemed. I was talking to a young man who lost his father last week. And he told me, he said, under 24 hours, he said the body was already smelling. So they have to take it to the morgue quickly. You're wondering, this person was still alive. But it shows how weak that body is. But thanks to Jesus, we have what? The completion of what? Our redemption. Thank God for the down payment. At least with the down payment, we are renewing the bodies that is trying to break down. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. We have news for you. You will not always have mortal body. Immortal God.
Immortal God, how great thou art.
You know, in one of my meetings 2 weeks ago during my mission to Nigeria, I kind of flipped it around. I said, immortal God,
with immortal life, immortal God, how great thou art. Listen, I said that to come to this point. A time is coming that immortal life will not just be in your spirit. It will be in your physical bodies. Immortal God, with immortal life, immortal God, how great thou. You know, now we are pulling immortality from our spirit to prolong our mortal part. But when the full payment has come, there will be no need to pull immortality from your spirit. Because immortality will not just be in your spirit, but your body will be full of immortality. No more death, no more weeping. You know, my mom turned 82 weeks ago. I looked at her, I'm like, this babe has aged. I saw her picture when she was in her 20s. My God, she's still cool. But 80 is 80. Because of what? The mortality in our physicality. But immortal life, one day, will not just define the state of our spirit, but also our bodies. What a privilege we have in Christ Jesus. Lift up your hands unto heaven.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.